Welcome to What the Tech, brought to you by Perserve IT. Today, we're diving into the world of responsible AI as part of our series, AI, Your Copilot. In this episode, we'll explore the fundamentals of responsible AI and its importance in today's technological landscape. From fairness to transparency to reliability and security, we'll uncover the key principles that guide the development and implementation of responsible AI technologies. Stay tuned as we navigate through the complexities of responsible AI and learn how organizations can ensure trust and accountability in their AI systems.
My name is Jamie McMahon. I am the CTO here at Proserve IT. And what that means is I actually get an amazing opportunity to talk to many organizations like yourself and hear from them. What are the questions? What are other charities and not-for-profits doing? What technology are they investing in? What concerns do they have as it relates to AI? You know, what should we be thinking about? What are the risks? How do I mitigate them? How do I accept them? So all of these questions pop up and give a great narrative. And so hopefully today we can answer some of those questions. So responsible AI, and Catherine touched on this when she was introing the session. And I'm right here, if you go in Google or Bing or whatever, responsible AI, there's probably a number of definitions. And I think this is a fluid concept because AI is still so fresh and still new. We're still figuring out as from a macro perspective, how to do this safely, how to do this. And then, you know, whose definition of well governs that. But at its heart, responsible AI is actually less about what you do and more about how you build the technology. And it's fundamentally built on six main principles. First and foremost, it's all around fairness. And I think early on, we probably heard lots of examples of how AI could be, it's all about what you trained it with and is the information fair? Does it represent all people appropriately? Is it fair? And who governs that and who judges that? Is it inclusive? Is there any bias or inherent prejudices that are existing in the system, and how do we make sure that we can actually trust whatever the output is of the systems that we're building? Are they done transparently? Obviously, all of these tools, they can be incredible powers for good, but for all you Spider-Man fans out there, they also have a significant capability for a negative. And so we need to make sure that when these systems are being built, they're done transparently so that we can, again, trust both what they're for and how they're being leveraged. They need to be reliable and safe. So as we scale this out and as we all begin to integrate AI more and more into our lives, it needs to become more like electricity. I think when we go and we flick a light switch, there's just an expectation that we flick the switch and the light turns on. Or that when we go anywhere, that there's an ability for us to get internet, whether that's through our phone or through a Wi-Fi hotspot. Similarly, we're going to begin build dependencies on these AI systems, and they just need to be reliable and safe by default. In addition to, they need to be private and secure. This is where we're going to be double-clicking into this from this session, is specifically on this. And we know that, again, when we talk about trust, it's important that we understand how your data is being used, who has access to it, all of the normal questions that likely pop up from a business context or from a mission context over, is this safe to use? Am I okay to use this from a corporate perspective? What are those things that I should be thinking about? And then finally, the last principle of responsible AI is accountability, making sure that there are actually people, not just systems, but people that are accountable for how these systems operate and work. So at the end of the day, there is that feedback loop. We can continue to innovate, continue to pivot. But if things go wrong, we can work in partnership with those folks to make sure that they continue to get better. Okay. So again, responsible AI, six main principles. But from a business perspective, likely the first and most important element of this is privacy and security. And that's why we'll be double clicking on that. So we hear tons of questions. And if I can summarize these questions, again, as it relates to AI, we tend to get questions like, how do we know our data is secure? I think this is the number one question that we get. Yeah, well, this and the last one, it's when will we be able to audit Copilot usage? You know, what can I do to avoid overexposing our data? And finally, where is our data processed? And all of these questions are great questions. And obviously, depending on where you reside or what your mission is or how you serve your communities, these may have more or less relevance to you. But again, we just need to be able to trust. And to trust, we need to have the answers for those questions. Okay, so when we go back, sorry, to look at this, I think the number one question we get is, how do we know that whatever it is that we put in, whatever questions or data or information that we put into these systems, how can we actually trust that information is not going to go out into the ecosystem or into the internet sphere? It's going to be leaked in some capacity, or it's going to be used to expose some secrets. Like, how do we actually trust, and how do we know where all of this, these queries and information are going? Where are they stored? And can I be confident that I can leverage this for actual business systems, which would mean we probably need to use confidential or at least sensitive internal information to fuel them? So I'll speak primarily about Copilot, because I think that's, from a Microsoft perspective, these same questions that were on the previous slide would probably apply to any AI system or any tool that you're looking at. Those are good questions to ask. And based off of where we sit today and the presence in the market from Microsoft perspective, we feel that kind of answering these and helping educate this will help, A, hopefully you feel more comfortable from the Microsoft side, and B, perhaps arm you better to ask similar questions and understand what the answer should be when you investigate other tools that might perform other functions inside of your business. So Copilot from Microsoft 365, what's important to understand is that it's built on Microsoft's fundamental approach to security, compliance, privacy, and responsible AI. And what that means is, when Microsoft has things like GDPR, for example, as a standard it needs to abide by, and GDPR, for those that might not be familiar with it, is a privacy policy that exists within the European Union, and the EU tends to be a leader in the world in terms of making sure that it can protect the rights of its citizens. And so they tend to have some of the more stronger policies that we need to adhere to. So if we align with those, we can feel comfortable that will likely cascade down, even though, of course, Microsoft has regional responsibilities too. So Copilot, built on Microsoft's framework, because Microsoft is subject to GDPR, and therefore transitively, it makes sure that its tools allow companies that are subject to those same regulations or GDPR compliant, you can be comfortable and understand that Microsoft's building these tools to satisfy all those compliance and regulatory concerns. And I think that's fundamental. And the next slide, we'll double click a little bit into the how. I'm going to try to be careful about how, because it's a little bit of an eyesore of a slide. But again, at a macro level, it's important to know Microsoft's applying the same approach it does with Office 365, for example, to Copilot. And by the way, if there are questions that pop up as we go through this, happy to take them in time. Also, and I'll manage whether those are point in time questions or things that we can park for later. Okay, so this slide's a bit of an eyesore, and I apologize for this. I'm going to walk you through this. And so hopefully you don't feel pressure to read this. I'm going to break this up into three buckets. Those three buckets are the left, the right, and the bottom left. Okay, and what that represents is the top left, those M365 apps, it's actually how your users interact with Copilot. The bucket on the right, that right circle, is the actual large language model, right? So that's OpenAI, ChatGPT, that's where the processing occurs. And then the bottom right is what Microsoft calls their graph. And that's where all of the context that's specific to your business is maintained. And so the way that a Copilot or a AI query operates inside your business is a user that sits up in the application, they're gonna make a request. And that request is then going to come down, and it's going to be fed into the graph, and the graph is going to basically apply context to it. So let's say I want the AI to create a job description for a new sales individual. That query is going to go in, it's going to go down to the graph, and the graph is going to understand that, hey, we're talking about ProServe IT, they're in the technology industry. And so when I populate that job description, I'm going to use context and maybe inject some of the things around our values, how we go to market, what differentiates, incorporate that into the job description. And that's going to be fed, that context is going to fed up into this. And then the query is going to go with that context for the business, in addition to the original query, is going to be packaged together and is going to go over to the large language model, and that's where the processing is going to occur. So the context and the original question, the language model is going to go and query that and push it out. What happens in that large language model is it actually has no, it doesn't save anything. So it almost operates like an antivirus or something that operates specifically in memory. So it takes a query, executes the query, and then flushes its memory and gets ready for the next query. And so all it is like a query engine that occurs, and it flushes memory every single time. And that's why it's so important that we actually have the context that's being fed from the graph to enrich the queries that the users are having, because if the users just ask the large language model, there really wouldn't be any difference to them going to public ChatGPT and asking a question, because that public ChatGPT doesn't actually have access to your data to enrich the answers. And that's the difference. Is the way that it works in public is the user makes a query to large language model responds. In this context, the user makes a query, it gets enriched by context from your business. That query is then processed, and then it goes back to the user once it has that. And once that process is done, it flushes it. So the large language model, none of the data or the queries are being used to train the model. None of your data is being saved in the model. All of that context continues to remain inside your Microsoft graph. Basically, the large language model element is just a processing engine. It just calculates or processes or query and then responds. Okay, so a bit of an iService chart, and I see that we have a couple of questions. I see that Betty has answered them, so HIPAA compliance and others. So, and I say others, there's HIPAA, there's PII, there's PCI, there's probably a million different compliance and regulatory criteria that your business might be beholden to, or that your nonprofit might be beholden to, that you need to abide by. And so I think it's important to know that the tool itself doesn't make you compliant or not compliant. As Betty alluded to, the Copilot will meet the compliance that is set up inside your environment. So if your environment, because again, from a principal perspective, it's built on how Microsoft builds all of the rest of the tools. So it does abide by and allow for things like data residency, as an example. It is built on Microsoft's compliant infrastructure. So it really is if your organization is configured in a way that you would pass a HIPAA audit or, you know, insert any compliance tool here, you are likely okay. And I say likely because there's always that caveat going, it depends. I'd love to know a little bit more about what specific compliance pieces you're speaking about and how that applies. But I'll say at a macro level, broadly speaking, that Copilot won't change your regulatory status. Now, if the policies change to have some kind of specific items relative to AI, obviously that might change. But just in the way it handles your data, stores your data, and processes your data, it doesn't break any of those compliance standards. We have another question there is, how does that work if you want to ingest your intranet? Surely that needs to get the model to inform that actual answer. Yeah, so I'll try to keep this high level because I know we've probably got a mixed audience here between business individuals as well as technical individuals. So I'll try and keep it high level. And then of course, if we need to go down a little bit, we can. But at a high level, the data that sits in here that enriches your query. So again, if you ask it to do the job description, that what it's going to know here is things like previous job postings you have, what our values are. And again, that's going to help make the answer that the large language model gives back better. Now, if your intranet, for example, is not on the Microsoft platform and therefore the data doesn't exist inside the Microsoft graph, that's when we would need to do and build things like connectors. That's a C, probably a really bad C, but that's where we'd have to build integrations perhaps between things like your intranet or other tools that might exist to make sure that context is being understood by Copilot so that its information can also help fuel or populate the answers that Copilot gives. And again, this is specific to Copilot. Other AIs might operate a little bit differently. We have a comment from Stephanie that tracks with everything else you've been saying. So perfect. I like it when we're being consistent. And if your email is Microsoft, but on-premise, does that include being in the graph? It does not. So if you're on-premise, and I think Peter, if you saw his first session this morning, probably spoke to their steps that might be required in order for your business to get the most value out of AI. One of those steps is to put your information in a spot where AI can actually see it. So if the AI can't see it, either it's on-premise, that could be your email that's in a server in your office, or that could be your file server, and you want the data, the information that sits there to help enrich your queries, your questions that you're asking of AI, or your tasks that you're asking of AI, then you do need to make that data available for AI to be able to see it. Perfect. So hopefully that does the compliance or the privacy items. Again, more questions, I welcome that. And yeah, I do encourage you to go and watch Peter's session. Hopefully it should answer some additional questions. So we talk about protecting your data through the LLMs, and the LLMs means large language model, insert ChatGPT or Azure, OpenAI, Microsoft's tool. So when we want to protect those through the LLMs or through the ChatGPTs, we need to make sure that security and compliance, as well as data usage and privacy, are first and foremost. So that means, and what's important to understand, is that Copilot is just going to inherit the Microsoft 365 policies and controls that you already have. That means, and what might be helpful to visualize or to think of this is, Copilot will just have access. Copilot's no different than if you were to hire an assistant do tasks for you, because really that's what you're asking Copilot to, right? Write the job description for me, summarize this email. Those are tasks that you could ask your assistant to do. But that would be the same as if your assistant will have the same access that you do, right? So it's going to inherit those policies. So your data access and permissions for Copilot will be inherited from you. It is like it has the same, it is an assistant with the same permission structure that you have. And so that probably sparks some other questions over how do we do a few things. And my next slide will speak to that. So I don't want to steal the thunder too much. We also talk about data processing and residency. I didn't mention this. There are a number of options to make sure that data processing and data residency are inherited, again, based off of whatever the requirements are for your tenant, for your Office 365 environment. And again, we would want to have a conversation to understand what specific data residency or processing requirements your organization might have. So when we double click into Copilot for Microsoft 365, and when I talk about it inherits your security, compliance, and privacy policies, that means we've got four main activities that we want to do to make sure that we're satisfying our privacy and security objectives from a business perspective. So one, because it inherits the privileges and the access of the users, we want to make sure that we don't have overprivileged risky users. So if we've got users that have administrative access, for example, that probably don't need administrative access, we may want to look at that and say, hey, we just want to have the appropriate people have the appropriate access organization-wide. Second, we want to make sure that we can mitigate device risk. And this might not necessarily directly correlate to AI. I think it's proper principle. And again, because AI is going to have the access you do, we want to make sure that we're protecting any element of it that the user might have to ask AI. Third, we want to prevent overexposure of data. So what this means is, I'm sure that many of us have file servers or file shares, and we've got years, decades perhaps, of content. And we might have things that have sensitive information buried in those files. And those files or that content might not have the appropriate security permissions in place. And it hasn't necessarily been a challenge before because there's this concept of security by obscurity, i.e. all of the content there, even though I haven't appropriately configured the security for that file, it was so obscure and people would have to go digging really hard to go and find it, right? The risk of someone finding that content that is sensitive in nature that they shouldn't have access to is probably low. Now with AI, that might be the case because again, what AI is really good at is it's good at reading and interpreting and understanding large quantities of data and summarizing it and providing functions like search. So we do want to understand and make sure that we can look at and think it through, how do we prevent overexposure of data? And there are some tools inside of the Microsoft stack, Purview being one of them. Purview is a product that Microsoft has. But there are some tools that Purview has to make sure that we can categorize data at scale, do automated, what they call tagging. So basically it can analyze the data that's in content there and automatically assess whether it's sensitive in nature or confidential in nature, and then apply securities based off of those labels or based off those tags that it does. And that helps you not have to go through and manually file by file or folder by folder, go through and analyze all of your content. Again, we want to do this at scale. We want to get to where we're using AI fast, right? Time to value is important. And therefore, we need to make sure we can leverage some automation to satisfy some of those requirements. And fourth, and this one might be an interesting one, it's important that we also discover and control the use of AI apps in our business. So there's this notion of there are probably quite a few people in your organization that are using consumer-based AI applications to do things like create images or write content or look through LinkedIn or whatever the use case may be. And those applications that they're using to perform those functions likely don't satisfy the security and compliance obligations of your business. So we do want to make sure that we can control these are corporately approved AI applications. These are not corporately approved AI applications because there is risk around how they treat data or how they expose information or how it trains the model. And therefore, those are not sanctioned apps. We do not allow those apps to be used. So those kind of four principles are important to follow when we think about how we roll out AI at scale. Should IT administrators use separate non-admin accounts when using Copilot? So one, I think just in general, our recommendation would be that IT, and this might be too techie, but IT admins shouldn't have standing administrative access, right? They should have look at tools like privileged identity management, PIM, which basically elevates an IT admin's access for when they need to actually perform administrative tasks and then lowers their access when that task is complete. And the way that Copilot works is it will actually take kind of your standing permissions as the baseline. So IT admins won't have access to things that they shouldn't have access to because they're not actually always administrative accounts. They're only administrative when they need to be administrative, elevated to administrator. Elevation is also audited to make sure that we can track you've elevated your account to an administrator. Now we can audit and track the activities you perform with that elevated permission. So I think our recommendation would be nobody should be a permanent administrator. There could be some concern there around overprivileged users. So finally, and I just want to make sure that I'm keeping my eye on time here. One of the things that has also popped up is around copyright. So there's actually in the news, there's been a fair bit of noise, let's say, about the things like authors or artists that saying AI is using our content to inform how it's creating. And so if you as an organization ever are hit with a copyright lawsuit, for example, with content that's created from Copilot, Microsoft will protect you from that. And they actually have what they call an indemnity protection. And they will defend if you get hit with a with a copyright lawsuit, for example. Again, this all kind of goes to privacy and security, and it is really important to Microsoft. Thank you for your patience, and looking forward to the rest of the day.
And that's a wrap for today's episode of What the Tech. It's clear that responsible AI and its principles have a significant role in today's digital age. Join us next time for an in-depth look at Copilot, ChatGPT's bigger sister, a safe and secure way to use generative AI. Until then, stay curious and keep exploring the ever-evolving world of technology. This is your host, Catherine Kwan, signing off.